This is Audible.
Listening Library presents Odd One Out by Nick Stone. Read for you by Dion Graham, Kim My Guest, and Nick Stone. For all the people who just don't know.
Book One. The Game Plan. One. I, Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV, should be a very sad dude. I should be devastated or pissed or deflated as I let myself into the house next door and climb the stairs to my best friend's bedroom. I should be crushed that less than a month into my junior year of high school, my latest girlfriend kicked me to the curb like a pair of too small shoes. It's ridiculous that I have to stop outside the door to get my act together so best friend won't get suspicious, isn't it? Rubbing my eyes so the whites look a little red, slumping my shoulders, hanging my head, and poking my bottom lip out just the slightest bit so I look sad. Best friend doesn't even look up from her phone when I open the door. Normally, I'd be offended since I did all this work pretending sadness, but right now, it's a good thing she keeps her eyes fixed to the little screen. She's sitting at her desk, laptop open, in one of those thin-strapped tank tops. Nothing underneath, mind you, and she's got a good bit more going on up there than most girls our age. She's also wearing really small shorts, and she's not small down bottom either. In the words of her poppy, all chichis and culo, that girl. And I can't not notice. Been trying to ignore her assets since they started blooming, if you will, in seventh grade, largely because I know she would kick me to the curb if she knew I thought of her that way. But anyway, when I see her sitting there with her light brown skin on display, like sun-kissed sand and her hair plopped on top of her head in a messy bun thing, my devastated dumped dude act drops like a bad habit. I close my eyes. The image has already seared itself into my memory, but I need to pull myself back together. With my eyes still closed, I cross the room I know better than my own and drop down into the old lazy boy that belonged to my dad. Despite the squeak of the springs in this chair, she doesn't say a word. I crack one eye. No earbuds. There's no way she doesn't realize I'm in here. She smiles at something on her phone, tap, 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 taps around, and after literally 2 seconds, there's the ping of an incoming text. She LOL. I sigh. Loudly. Like, overly loudly. Tap, 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 tap. You're back early, she says without looking up. You should put some clothes on, Jupe. Last I checked, you're in my domain, peon. Typical. I need to talk to you, I say. So talk. Ping. She reads, chuckles. Who the hell is she even talking to? I take a deep breath. Wrangle a leash under the green-eyed monster bastard raging within. I can't. She glares over her shoulder at me. Don't be difficult. God. Even the stank face is a sight to behold. You're the one being difficult, I say. Oh, well, excuse me for feeling any opposition to you waltzing into my room without knocking and suggesting that I adapt to your uninvited presence. She sets her phone down, thank God, faces her computer, and mutters, "Friggin' patriarchy, I swear." I smile and glance around the room. The unmade bed and piles of clothes, dirty stuff on the floor near the closet, clean in a basket at the foot of the bed, the old TV and VHS player she keeps for my sake, since she never uses them when I'm not here, or so she says, the photo on the dresser of me, her, my mom, and her dad's on vacation in Jamaica 6 years ago. A small tower of community service and public speaking certificates and plaques stacked in the corner that she just hasn't gotten around to hanging on the white walls. I'll never forget my first time being in here 10 years ago. She was 6, and I was 7. And a week after Mom and I moved in next door, Jupe dragged me into this domain of hers because she wanted to know more about my sadness. She knew we'd move because my dad died. I told her that the day we met. But this was the day I hit her with the details. He was killed in a car crash, and he'd been out of town, and I hadn't gotten to say goodbye. Still hate talking about this. I cried and cried on her bed, and Joop wrapped her skinny arms around me and told me everything would be okay. She said she knew all about death because her bunny, Migsy, got uterine cancers, and the vet couldn't save her. And she told me that after a while, it wouldn't hurt so bad. But I'll be your friend when it hurts the most, Courtney. And there she is, Jupiter Charity Sanchez, at her computer, with her grass-green fingernails, 3 studs in each ear, and a hoop through her right nostril, likely organizing some community event to bring sustenance and smiles to the local homeless or a boycott of some major retailer in protest of sweatshop conditions in Sri Lanka. Joop, my very, very best friend in the universe. Force, firebrand, future leader of America, I'm sure. This is home. She is home. Did you pull together a donation for the Carl's Closet clothing drive like I asked you to, loser? She says, see, I forgot, I reply. She shakes her head, so unreliable. Ping! She snorts when she reads this time. Who are you texting? I ask as she taps out her response. If you must know, her name is Ray. Ray? Ray. She's new, just moved here. Why don't I know her? She's technically a sophomore. So why do you know her? What's with the third degree, Coop? She turns back to her computer. I grab a pair of bald socks from the clean clothes basket and lob it at her head. Bingo! Excuse you! She spins her chair to face me fully, which I assure you is a blessing and a curse. She's cold. Needless to say, my mind is no longer on this Ray person. In fact, quite thankful for the blanket Joop keeps draped over the back of the Lazy Boy. Down over my lap it goes. Thanks for nothing, basketball shorts. I lean my head back and close my eyes. So, so cold, good Lord. Please put some clothes on, Jupiter. I absolutely will not, she says. If you'd knocked, I would have had the chance to put some clothes on, but you didn't, so suck it up. I open my eyes to scowl at her. Phone's to the side, and she's typing away on the laptop with her nose in the air. So this is war, apparently. You're refusing? My room, asshole. Fine. I move the blanket. You don't want to put clothes on? You'll have to deal with me sitting here with a tent in my shorts.
What?
She looks at me. I point to my lap.
Oh, my God!
She leaps from the chair, bumps the desk, phone falls to the floor, bonus, and runs into her closet. Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
I hate you,
Joop says, poking her head out the door while she finishes dressing. I laugh.
No, for real.
She reappears in ratty sweatpants and the baggiest sweater I've ever seen, plops down in her desk chair, and shoots knives at me from her honey-colored eyes.
I really, for real, hate you. I can't believe you just wielded your wand.
Pure biology, Joop, I say. It's nothing personal. Which is true, for the most part.
You're such an ass.
Nah. I took my hands behind my head. Have I mentioned I love winning? Just hope that phone doesn't ping again. No clue who this Ray is, but I'm not okay with some girl distracting my best friend while I'm sitting right here.
God, what I wouldn't give to knock that shit-eating grin off your face, she says.
Admit it, Jupiter. Your love for me runs as wide and as deep as all the oceans combined.
Oh, my God.
Another eye roll.
What are you doing here again?
Huh?
Here, she says. Why are you here? Aren't you supposed to be on a date?
Oh, right. That.
Deep sigh for effect. And then, Joop, I need the jam.
The jam is this song and dance ritual Joop and I do every time I get dumped, which happens more often than I care to admit.
You're not even serious right now, she says. The jam, Jupiter.
Coop, it hasn't even been a month. What the hell happened?
Cue the jam. She shakes her head and reaches for the laptop.
You're unbelievable,
she says, shifting her fingers around on the touchpad and clicking a few times before looking over at me.
You ready for verse two?
Oh, I will be. As the opening bass solo kicks off, I have a brief flashback to my first time in this exact position. Sadie McGrady had broken up with me, and back then, a full 2 years ago, I was actually upset about it. I came to Jupe, and to make me feel better, she played the song now thumping against my eardrums. Jupe's been obsessed with Queen since we were little. The only thing she does have on display in her room is a poster of Freddie Mercury on her closet door, in fact. So I'd heard the song 1,000 times, but hadn't thought of it as a heartbreak jam until that moment. First chorus. Doom, doom, doom. Another one bites the dust. After the last, another one bites the dust, I leap up from the lazy boy as Jupe leaps up from her desk chair and we land side by side for our verse two dance break. Arms thrown wide, head thrown back, cross arms over chest, then drop into a squat. Look left, then right, then left, then right. Jump up, cross the feet, and spin it face to back. Right hand on right butt cheek, left hand on left butt cheek, bend at the waist and shake, shake, shake. Right foot forward, pivot to the front, make a gun with your finger, shoot a shot. High five! As the chorus plays again, I wrap an arm around Jupe's waist and pull her down into the chair with me. I squeeze her tight, set my chin on her shoulder, and sigh. She's always so cozy. And there's the ping. She tries to get up. Not happening. Yeah, no. I hold on for dear life. I'm in distress. Ray can wait. She sighs and relaxes. Thank you, I say.
So what happened?
She lays her arms on top of mine. I could stay like this forever. Side note. You, I say.
Me?
You, again.
Unfreaking believable.
She moves my arm so she can get up, and I let her this time.
What is with these girls?
They just can't get past you, Jupe. Neither can I, obviously, but of course I don't say that.
It's ludicrous.
She sits back at her laptop.
They do know I'd rather sleep with them than you, right?
So that stings. It shouldn't, of course. The only closet Jupe's ever been in is the one where she just changed her clothes. But it does. Hope she's not planning to sleep with this Ray. I clear my throat. Doesn't seem to matter, Jupe. They feel threatened. She shakes her head.
So what did this one say?
Something to the effect of, there's obviously something going on between you two, and it's disgusting.
Wait.
She spins in her chair again and cocks her head.
How exactly would that be disgusting? Heteronormative is still very much normative, I know.
Because she says that all the time, even though it's redundant. I'm sure she was trying to make herself feel better. What can I say, Jupes? Despite your preferences, these girls can't seem to handle the fact that I have a gorgeous female best friend.
Don't call me gorgeous, Coop. It's weird.
It's true. Sorry.
Well, sorry it didn't work out, she says. This one was pretty hot, too. Amazing waist-to-hip ratio.
True.
Did you two...
She makes it sound like a popping cork with her lips. So crude. No, Jupiter.
Still saving it for me, huh?
With a wink. About that, I pledged my virginity to Jupe when we were in seventh grade after having real sex ed for the first time. Her response?
Ew, Coopy, gross.
And no, I haven't broken said pledge, despite the fact that Jupe's only ever been into girls and it will likely never happen. Notice I said, likely. Yes, I'm an idiot. Guessing she can see the idiocy on my face or something because she's laughing, which makes my stomach hurt. And now I feel like a punk ass. Do I realize it's dumb to have secret feelings for my lady-loving best girlfriend and to want said best girlfriend to be my first sexual intercourse experience? Yes, but being reminded of the dumbness doesn't make me feel very good.
Where I was pretending to be sad before, there is genuine sadness now. This sucks, Joop. Of course, she thinks I'm talking about the breakup. She pokes her lip out, and then gets up and comes over to pull me out of the chair.
You need a cuddle, Courtney Cooper,
she says. We walk over to her bed, and I lie down on my back. She burrows underneath my arm, lays her head on my chest with her nose tucked right beneath my chin, and drapes an arm over my waist and a thigh over my thigh.
Better?
She asks. This is what I came here for. This is why when the girl whose name is already fading from my memory told me she was done with me, I breathed a sigh of relief. I've gone almost a month without this. Even if my best friend is gay. Being all cuddled up with her while I have a girlfriend is obviously a no-go, but now that I'm free, I get to have this again. I peek at her forgotten phone under the desk and exhale all my troubles away.
Let her oh-so-Jupiter scent, which right now is all mine, carry me off.
Yes, I say, much better.
It won't always be this way, Koopy, Joop says. One day, you'll meet the girl of your dreams, and the two of you will fit together like puzzle pieces. No more getting dumped.
I smile and kiss her forehead the exact same way I did when we lay like this for the first time 9 years ago. Second grade, Joop was 7 and I was 8, and I came into her room one day and found her sobbing in her closet. When she told me what had happened, some dickwad 5th grader had called her a dumb dyke. I asked if she needed a cuddle because, duh, cuddles were, are the supreme cure for all forms of malaise. Fact. I was bigger than a mini bigot. Always been one of the biggest kids in school, so I kicked his ass the next day and totally got suspended. It was worth it, considering Joop hasn't heard a homophobic slur since. The rest, as they say, is history.
What can I say, Joopy? I tell her,
you win some, you lose some. 2. The scent of Joop's overpriced curly hair gunk in my nostrils always marks the start of a perfect morning. Screw coffee. When Poppy knocks and yells, Jupiter, up, at 6:30, and I catch a whiff of Manuka honey and Mephora oil, ask me how many times I've been sent out to replace the stuff for, I breathe in real deep and smile. A weight lifts from my chest and my left thigh, and then a light clicks onto my left. There's a reddish indentation on Joop's cheek from where she was lying against a fold in my t-shirt, and her hair is all fuzzy.
I'm taking first shower,
she says with a yawn. I suck my teeth, though I'm still smiling. But you always get first shower.
My house, jackass.
Considering how often Joop and I have woken up with our limbs entangled over the past 10 years, when we were younger, this could have involved a bed, couch, floor, pillow fort, tent made of beach towels, or stuffed animal-filled bathtub. And since everyone knows Joop likes girls, the parents never made us stop sleeping together. We probably had this exact exchange a couple thousand times. Still smiling.
Let Dad know you're here so he makes enough grits, she says.
Bottomless pit eating us out of house and home. She fake scowls at me, and stretches and stands.
Incredible view, by the way.
Grabs some stuff from the clean laundry pile on our way out. Thus commences my return to life as Decatur High's most eligible bachelor. This is how the cycle goes. I'll be a free bird for a while, maybe a month, month and a half, and at first it's great because I get to spend all the time I want just living the Joop and Coop life. Despite her I-run-the-universe schedule, Joop always makes time for me. We do homework together, watch old movies, play one-on-one in my driveway, take aimless drives in the old BMW 5 series we share, do volunteer work, play board/card games, practice my cheerleading lifts. Did I mention I'm a cheerleader? Me and two of my basketball teammates are on the varsity football cheer squad. Keeps us in shape during football season, and it turns out, girls around here really dig male cheerleaders. Joop refuses to publicly participate in an activity so subjected to the male gaze, but she lets me toss her around in the backyard. She's got a good 15 pounds on our squad's heaviest flyer, so Working out with her makes lifting those chicks easy as pie. Don't tell her I use the word chicks.
Basically, when I'm single, Jupe and I have fun together just being us.
But then sometime between the 4 and 6 week mark, she gets all,
Koopy, you're too much of a catch to be spending so much time with me when there's a whole world of eligible straight girls out there.
It's a knife to the jugular. Every single time. Again, I know she's into girls. Everybody knows Jupe's into girls. But it still crushes me every damn time I hear, Coop, you need a girlfriend. Come out of her mouth. So I sulk for a couple of days, and then I buck up and find someone new to date.
This time will be different, I tell myself going in.
Within a week or two, there's a new lady on my arm. No more Jupe and Coop. It's Coop and Joanna, or Coop and Caitlin, Coop and Tamika, or Coop and Wynn, and the girls are always great. But compared to Jupe and Coop? The thing nobody knows about me, despite being a 6'4", 210-pound combo guard, not to brag, but I'm ranked number 2 in the state and started getting calls from college scouts in the 8th grade, I, Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV, am absolutely terrified of girls who aren't Jupiter Charity Sanchez. I have no idea how to be a good boyfriend. I've spent my whole life watching a successful romantic relationship between Jupe's 2 dads, who I totally consider my dads too, but the only good hetero relationship I've ever seen was my parents. And while it was clear Daddy loved Mama more than he loved anything, I was too busy playing with Legos and shit to pick up on the practicals. I go after these girls I think I have a chance of developing real feelings for, but then they get all weird and googly-eyed and expectant. Next thing I know, I'm overwhelmed with anxious questions. Is a kiss on the forehead too friendly? Should I hold her hand in public? What about posting coupley pictures online? Should I go around to open her car door? See, the girl I spent the most time with would cut me if I tried to open the door for her. I have no grid for this shit. I try to be all smooth and romantic like Humphrey Bogart, my dad's collection of Bogart VHS tapes, the VCR he used to play them on, and the Lazy Boy where we used to sit and watch them play, all of which are now in Jupe's room, are the 3 things of Daddy's Mama let me keep. And there's been a time or two that I've watched Bogart movies just to study his character's ways with the ladies. But then I feel like a fraud and start to crave that place slash person where slash with whom I can just be myself. My mind wanders while I'm on dates. I get too touchy with Jupe at school, or I slip up and call whatever girl I'm with Jupiter. Then the girlfriend dumps me. My longest relationship lasted 53 days. What do I do then? Cue the jam! After cheer practice Monday afternoon, my boys and I hit the weight room. Jesse Cox, power forward, better known as Golly, since he's a certifiable giant, but Goliath is too hard to chant, is examining his stubble in the wall-wide mirror, and Britton Greer, starting point guard and the shorty at 6 foot even, slash only white dude of our trio, though he doesn't sound like it, is spotting me on bench press. I'm on my second set when Golly brings up the news of the day. So, Coop, what happened with you and your girl, dog? I thought things were good. Yeah, brah. Lately, Britton's taken to referring to all of his guy friends as a woman's undergarment. No clue. What can I say? I tell them. Guess I failed to meet her expectations. Golly comes and stands next to Britton, so they're both looking down at me as I do my last set.
Please tell us you smashed at least once,
Britton says. I rack the barbell. She wasn't a beer can, fool. Aw, damn, here we go with that feminism shit. Golly rolls his eyes as he adds a 45-pound plate to each end of the barbell. I rise, and he takes my place on the bench.
What the hell kind of state champ ball player says shit like that?
Britton says.
She wasn't a beer can.
You asked if I smashed. We know what you meant. This from Golly. It's just... He shakes his head, then shoves the barbell into the air and begins his reps. It's just what? I ask. Golly finishes his first set and sits up and turns to face me.
Coop, you're in your prime, dog. Chicks worship you.
Right, Britton says, moving to the squat rack.
You're like a deity and you don't even take advantage of that shit.
See, that's you guys' problem right there, I say. Neither of you have any appreciation for the inherent value of women as human beings.
Coop, do you hear yourself right now?
Britton says. Golly gets up to add more weight to the bar. See, Goliath? He lies back down for his second set.
You've been hanging with Jupiter way too much, homie.
You assholes do realize that part of the reason girls like me is because they know I'll treat them with utmost respect, right?
Dog, we're not saying be disrespectful, but you can't tell me these girls don't offer you the goods. Your ass turns them down.
Right.
From Britain.
And tell yourself they like that nice guy shit if you want to, but these honeys ain't ignoring the fact that you're one of the top high school ball players in the state, maybe even the nation.
And you look like a less swole, beardless version of that dude who guards the Rainbow Bridge in the Thor movies, Golly says. With the brown skin and kind of lightish eyes, women love that shit.
It's not all about looks, Golly.
He's hopeless, dog.
This from Britain.
This is what happens when a straight dude is raised by two gay men and has a feminist sister figure who doesn't like dudes.
Wait, so my valuing of girls is a problem? And leave my sister figure out of it. From Golly.
Sister figure my ass.
He sits up.
Coop, you think we don't know you're madly in love with Jupiter Sanchez, bro?
Can't say we blame you.
Britain comes over and sits next to Golly on the weight bench. Your girl is fine as a well-aged wine.
So this is gonna be a two-on-one, then.
There she is, my friend. From Golly. She's got that smile, all that curly hair, them bright-ass eyes and luscious lips, and booty for days, brah. Hey, you assholes watch your mouths and your minds.
Golly starts cracking up, which is always an interesting experience since he's 6'7" and 240 pounds of mahogany steel, but has this high-pitched hyena giggle.
Just admit it, Coop,
Britton says.
You got a Jones in your bones for your chick-digging stepsister.
She's not my stepsister. Golly laughs even harder. The guy's on the verge of tears.
Coop, how long have we known each other?
I cross my arms and do the math. 7 years?
And in those 7 years, how many times have we had a conversation about girls that didn't come back around to Jupiter?
How the hell would I know, Golly? Girls are pretty much all we talk about.
And every time we talk about them, whether it's me getting laid or you getting dumped or Britton getting played,
I shut your big hyena laughing ass up, brah.
Golly giggles again.
My point is, no matter how, when, why the conversation starts, it always ends with Coop saying, "Welp, guess it's a good thing I've got Jupe," in his G. Golly Willikers voice.
Britton's barely visible blonde eyebrows tug down.
You know what? You might be right.
I know I'm right, Golly says. Look, I know you guys are probably jealous, I say, but Jupiter Charity Sanchez is my very best friend.
You hear how he says her name?
Britton nudges Golly with his elbow. Golly clasps his hands beneath his chin and bats his eyelashes.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez.
Jackass. Hey, both of you can kiss my black ass.
Well, we all know Jupe will never do it,
Britton says.
Brit, even if Jupe was straight, she wouldn't kiss Coop's black ass.
Whatever, Brit says. Y'all get my meaning. Golly shakes his head, but still says,
he's right, Coop. I know you still got some hope that Jupe will wake up one morning craving that cobra in your trousers, but you gotta let that go, man.
It's not even about that, Golly lifts a hand the size of a baseball glove to cut me off.
Don't think we don't notice how you sabotage all your relationships so you can run back to Jupiter, Coop. You might have everybody else fooled with that sad dump guy shit, but we know you.
He's right.
From Britain.
And seeing a strapping young chap of your stature and potential stuck on a girl you'll never have, it's hard to watch, man.
What the hell do I even say to that? Can't deny it, obviously. There's this poster in Dad's, as in Troy Charity's, office that says, the most important person to be honest with is yourself. He says it's there to remind him of what his life was like before he came out. But it's definitely something I make an effort to put into practice. It's just that never is really hard to swallow. I have no clue what to do, y'all. I drop my chin because I can feel prickles in the corners of my eyes. And while I grew up with men who stressed there's nothing wrong with a fella shedding a tear or two, weeping in the weight room in front of my boys is something I'd rather not do. All right, bring it in, Golly says. He and Britton stand and throw their arms around each other's shoulders, leaving a gap for me to join them in a three-man huddle. Once I'm in, Golly says, so what we need here is a game plan. Coop's in a tight spot, and we got to get him out of it. Yeah, yeah, from Britton. I'm feeling it. He starts to sway like we're in our final timeout during a close game. So, of course, Golly starts really feeling it and swaying. And the next thing I know, I'm swaying and getting hyped, too. Go time, baby! So this is what I'm thinking, Golly says. Coop, you need to study Jupiter's moves. Figure out what she does, what she says, how she says and does it. All the stuff about her that's got you twisted up in the game and shit. She's doing something for you that these other girls aren't. And we know it's not about the boom-boom since you ain't getting any there. You really got some thinking to do. Yeah, yeah. I'm nodding with my sway. I can do that. Write all the shit down so you know what you really need in a woman. What'll keep you coming back. You feel me?
Golly, I hate to break it to you, but this is some real girly shit you're talking about right now.
From Britain. Golly doesn't stop his sway. I have 5 sisters, hello? 3 of them are in good relationships. I seen them do this shit, so it obviously works. If you can't get with the game plan, take your little ass to the bench.
Okay, brah, damn.
Sway, sway, sway. You don't gotta be so harsh. Golly continues. Coop, once you got your Team Juke playbook together, you can consult it when you encounter a legitimate prospect. You can't just pick whatever cute girl is available and try to force the feelings, dog.
How does this giant-ass dude know so much about my life?
All right, all right. I pant. Like, straight up panting. The adrenaline is flowing. Find a real prospect. Consult the playbook. In the meantime, keep your bachelor card, but stay away from Jupiter.
I stop to sway and stand up.
Huh? You heard me, dog, Golly says. No more Jupe and Coop, or whatever the hell you call it. Don't be hanging around at her house all the time, snuggling and watching movies and sleeping with her and shit.
Yeah, they know about that.
I slipped up and told him of me and Jupe's fairly frequent sleeping arrangements when I had a stiff shoulder from her lying on my arm all night and kept missing jump shots in a scrimmage last season.
Wait, though. Why do I have to stay away from Jupe?
And why do I feel like he just told me I have to saw through my nuts with a plastic butter knife?
Did you really just ask him that, Coop?
Britton says. Coop, do you know the basic definition of stupidity? Golly asks. It's doing the same thing, but expecting a different result.
Pretty sure that's insanity, brah.
Stupidity, insanity, Golly says. Point is, how you expect to get clean if you keep shooting up, man?
Damn, Golly, that was deep,
Britton says. Deep. Like the breath I need to take right now. What the hell you plan to do if she gets a girlfriend, Coop?
From Golly.
Ping!
The joy all over her face when she was texting the other night pops into my head. Still don't know who this Ray is. Been trying not to think about it. And I haven't seen Jupe with her phone in her hand since, but still. What will I do if she gets a girlfriend? When she gets a girlfriend? Because it's bound to happen eventually, right? We'll cross that bridge when we get to it, I say.
Bruh,
If you're still burning for her the way you are now, any bridge you step onto will go up in flames. Britton says,
open your eyes, Coop.
Golly.
Jupiter is never gonna feel the way you feel, dog. Never. You get that, right?
Yes. No. Maybe.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
I get it.
Repeat after me.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never be my woman.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never.
I stop.
Take a deep breath and try again.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never.
Oh, fuck me. I can't say it.
Now my hands are on my knees, and I swear I just ran a suicide.
Come on, dog!
Golly's using a get-fired-up voice. It makes me really feel like we're on the court. All right, all right. I bounce on my toes and shake my wrists out as I roll my neck from side to side. Say it again, Golly.
You ready?
Go time, go time, go time, Cooper.
I'm ready.
Golly.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never be my woman.
Me.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never be my woman.
Louder.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never be my woman.
We can't hear you, Coop.
Jupiter Charity Sanchez will never be my woman.
Hell yeah.
Britton and Golly chest bump and then smack me on the ass. No clue what I've gotten myself into.
3.
It's said that on the fourth day, God created the sun, moon, and stars, but I feel like all three have fallen from the sky. For one thing, I really haven't slept since implementing the game plan. There's this nightmare I have sometimes. Starts with me on a merry-go-round. At first everything is normal, but then this old TV character, Carousel Carl, pops up at the control panel. Carl was the star of this kids' science show I used to be into because I always felt smarter by the end of the show. He was hella fun to watch and listen to, and I loved that he was the same color as me, but in the nightmare, he looked scary as hell. All red-eyed and gray-skinned and rotten-toothed. He grins at me with this sinister smile, and the unicorn I'm on moves up and down faster and faster. Then the merry-go-round spins faster and faster, so I shut my eyes. But when I open them, I'm in a car, and a car is spinning, and the sky is spinning, and there's a tornado spinning, 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 and rain, thunder, lightning, screeching tires, my dad's face, then crash. That's always when I wake up. Usually sweaty, panting, dizzy as hell, and with no clue where I am. I do know what the nightmare references. It's something I've stuffed deep down and never talk about. And when I'm sleeping next door, Troop's always there to, like, ground me, I guess is the word, and I'm able to go back to sleep. When I'm at home, though, by myself, it's bad, man. To add insult to injury, she's just going on about her life like me not being around her has no effect on her whatsoever. Case in point, on Thursday, Golly drops me off after cheer practice. Guy's been driving me everywhere since Jupe and I technically share the car Poppy and Dad Charity gave us. And as he's pulling away, a bubblegum pink Jeep whips into Jupe's driveway. Brianna Banks, the college sophomore Dad Charity introduced Jupe to last year after she sat in on his history of the African-American experience course. Dad's a professor at Emory, by the way, because he thought they'd really vibe. He was right, unfortunately. What I know about her from Jupe, she does a lot of social justice stuff, organizes protest marches, and goes around to high schools, ours included, to get students active in their communities. She's also an apprentice grant writer for a handful of nonprofits, and she's the VP of her university's Pride organization. And yes, I committed all this to memory. One cannot best an adversary without full awareness of said adversary's strengths. Speaking of strengths, she's also really good-looking.
brown-skinned with curly hair. She keeps cutting a frohawk, as I've heard Jupe call it. Looking at her now reminds me I need a damn lineup. Dark brown eyes, pretty face. And yeah, she dresses like a guy, but she's certainly not shaped like one. Also, always has her nails painted, which I only notice because of the way she dresses. And she has more swag than me. Am I feeling threatened as she hops down from the Jeep in her Jordan 5s and her pink chino shorts and her short-sleeved denim button-down with plaid bow tie and her dope-ass forearm tats? Something I'm not even old enough to get. All on display? Yep. Jupe swears there's nothing between them but friendship. She's too old for me, Coop, and not my type. A little too swaggy. But knowing that this gorgeous human Jupe could be into is about to hang out with her when I haven't all week? Before I know what I'm doing, I'm 3/4 of the way across the wide strip of green that separates my driveway from Jupe's. Hey, Brianna, hold up. Now I'm jogging. Yeah, shaking my head too. Trust me. Mr. Cooper, she says once I reach her. We do that handshake slash hug with the opposite arm thing that I usually only do with my boys, but feels totally natural with her. What up, my dude? Chilling, chilling. You and the Jupster got plans this lovely evening? Wow, that came out way whacker than I intended. Brianna smirks. Knowingly, I'd say. Gives me a once-over that makes me feel like a little-ass kid. I don't like it.
Yeah, you could say that,
she replies.
Some of the kids I work with are doing a poetry slam to raise money for juvenile justice care packages.
She looks over her shoulder up at Jupe's bedroom window, then back at me, smiling openly now.
You want to come?
Oh, no, I'm good. I have homework. Her eyebrows lift.
You sure about that?
I can't get my lips to move.
You don't sound very sure, Cooper.
Smirks again. She's enjoying every second of this. I clear my throat, jam my hands into my pockets. I'm gonna get going. You two have fun with whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, I enjoy that homework.
And she winks at me and swags up to Jupe's door with the confidence of Kevin Durant playing horse with a toddler. This is not a good feeling. Once I'm inside my house, I basically lose it. Takes everything in me not to say screw this game plan bullshit and just bust up next door to take my girl back. Tell Save the World Brianna to take a damn hike. For what it's worth, up until now, I have been doing my part. I grabbed the Jupe playbook from my bedside table and opened to the list I put together that first night I couldn't sleep. What I Love About Jupiter Charity Sanchez by Courtney Aloysius Cooper IV. 1. She's always there when I need her. 2. She completely accepts me. Well, at least everything she knows. 3. She's hella confident. Doesn't need anybody to validate her existence. Most of the girls I've dated spent more time asking me insecure questions than actually enjoying our time together. Do you think I'm pretty? Does this make my ass look small? Am I a good girlfriend? You really like me, right? It got ridiculous. 4, she genuinely cares about people and is really focused on fixing what she sees wrong with the world. 5, she's so damn beautiful, but she's not whack about it. Like some of the pretty girls I've dated who spend more time checking mirrors than actually interacting with me? 6, she's got this way of lighting up a room and making it feel warmer just by being in it. 7, she's secretly a hopeless romantic. In 6th grade, we had a babysitter from Mama's church who wore this charm bracelet. When Jupe asked her about it, she explained that each of the 5 gemstone charms represented a different intimate act. There was even one for dropping the L word, and she was supposed to give each charm to whoever she did the corresponding activity with for the first time. I thought it was corny as hell, but Jupe got this look on her face like she was seeing a sunrise for the first time. Color me surprised when she asked for a similar bracelet for her quince. Says she loved the symbolism and the idea of giving all her firsts to the first person she would truly love. 8. She still has all the gemstones.
In other words, she's a damn unicorn, and this is hopeless.
When I showed Britt and Golly the list 2 days ago, Golly shook his head and said I was idealizing her too much, acting like she has no flaws so you can hold on to the idea that she's perfect for you. Might have to start calling this guy Guru, by the way. So I went back in and tried to add some stuff I don't like. For instance, A, she's a little too tough sometimes. For example, when she found out her surrogate, a black woman named Sunny, had died, Jupe shrugged it off. Whatever, it's not like I knew her, she said. But then she didn't eat for a week and a half. This would also be a good time to mention that Jupe was a twin. Her brother, Mars, Dad and Poppy let Sunny choose the names, and I kid you not, she named the babies Mars and Jupiter, died when they were 17 days old. The most interesting part of all this, embrace yourself if you're squeamish about biology stuff. For the IVF, Sunny was implanted with a mix of eggs. Some of the ones they harvested were fertilized with Poppy sperm and some with Dad's, meaning Mars and Jupiter could have had totally different fathers. Wild, right? Anyway, they've never checked. Jupe said she didn't want to know, so it can't be said for sure, but she definitely looks more like Poppy than Dad. Also, I would never let her hear me say this, but B, it bugs me that she never seems to need me. Not the way I want her to, at least. Like, she'll ask me to go get her tampons and salted caramel gelato when Aunt Flo makes her monthly visit, but she's never called me crying or asked me to come climb a ladder or kill a bug for her or anything. This is the kind of stuff I remember Daddy doing for Mama, and she'd always call him her hero afterward. I give my left thumb to hear Jupe say that, but it just doesn't happen. Probably never will. And this last thing is dumb, but see, I wish she were more demanding of my time, if that makes any sense. She's obviously not jealous of my girlfriends, but I sometimes wish she were less okay with me ditching her for weeks without thinking twice. Like the fact that I can hear the crank and rumble of Brianna's Jeep outside my window is killing me right now. I haven't seen Jupe in 4 days, and though she's texted a few times asking me to hang out, when I tell her I can't, she just says, "Kay." "Kay? What is that?" There hasn't been a single, "What are you doing that's so important?" or, "Koopy, this bed is so empty without you." Not that she'd actually ever say that second one. And as a result, I've been spending way too much time wondering how much she's been talking to this Ray person since I'm not around to stop her. It's torture. Has she made sure I'm alive? Definitely. She checks in at least twice a day, but she doesn't seem to miss me, which in some ass-backward way just makes me miss her even more. My phone pings. "Bree said she invited you to the slam. You should have come with us, loser." Smiley face. With a selfie. Of her and Brianna, leaned all close together in the Jeep. I swear there's a mocking glint in Brianna's eye. I toss the phone under my carpeted floor and look around my lifeless everything Jupe's isn't bedroom. My plaques and trophies are actually on display. My clothes are either in the hamper, dirty, or folded and put away, clean. And my walls are pale blue instead of white, and are hung with posters of great men with girly names. Connie Hawkins, Dominique Wilkins, Courtney Lee, Shannon Sharp, Tracy McGrady, Sasha Vujicic, Dana Barros, and Marion Barber III. I lie back on my perfectly made, perfectly jupeless bed that I can't actually get any sleep in, and I stare up at the ceiling. Rivers are running into my ears, but I don't even care right now. What the hell am I doing? "Courtney!" A voice calls from downstairs. Shit, what is Mama doing here? I wipe my tears on my shoulders and throw an arm over my eyes so it looks like I'm sleeping. Of course, because Mama is Mama and the sun hasn't gone down, she strolls right in and wakes me up. "Sweetheart?" "I just came from next door. I feel her sit down.
What are you doing here?
Is she serious? I live here, Ma. Could have fooled me. Yeah, not responding to that.
Sit up.
She pats me on the thigh. With a nice fake groan, I oblige.
Honey, are you all right?
She says.
You've been looking a bit run down this week. Are you sleeping okay?
Whoa, she actually noticed? I'm fine, I'm fine. For a few seconds, she stares at me with her eyes narrowed, examining me like I'm one of her patients. I hate when she does this.
Courtney, your eyeballs look like they're smothered in hot sauce.
5 cool points for the simile, Ma.
Don't change the subject.
She pulls the penlight out of the collar of her shirt and shines it into my eyes.
Have you been using drugs, sweetie?
What?
No, Mama. You know you can tell me the truth, right? We can get you the help you need.
Nita!
Do not call me that, Courtney Cooper. I am your mother.
I close my eyes and shake my head. I promise I'm not using drugs, Ma.
Have you ever used them before? Can we not talk about this right now?
I fall back onto the bed.
It's a yes or no question, baby.
I take a deep breath, push up onto my elbows, and look her dead in the eye. Yes, Mama, I've used drugs before. I had a hash brownie at a party once, and it was the worst 6 hours of my life, so I don't plan to ever do it again. I say, okay? Now she wants to look all taken aback. You asked? I lie down again and return my arm to my face.
You're not having that nightmare again, are you?
Oh, boy. It might be said that I told her I stopped having it 3 years ago because she was talking about sending me to therapy. And no shade on therapy. Just didn't want to talk to some stranger about my subconscious fear of former kid show stars and merry-go-rounds.
Huh? You heard me, boy.
I mean, every now and then I'll have a bad dream. Not a lie. But it's nothing to worry about, Mama. Pretty sure everyone has bad dreams occasionally. I know Joop does. That is a lie. I know no such thing. She doesn't respond, and I refuse to look at her because then she'll know I'm lying. I'm going to take a quick nap and then hit my homework, I say, rolling over onto my stomach. Cheer practice was a doozy today. She still doesn't say anything. I crack an eyelid. She's standing with her arms crossed, giving me the mom look. I promise I'm fine, Mama.
Yeah, all right, she says. I'll take your word this time, but don't take that for granted.
I appreciate that.
And watch the sarcasm.
She finally moves toward the door. You might be bigger than me now, but I'll still lay you out. This makes me smile, which feels nice considering how rarely I've done it over the past 4 days. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, by the way, we're entertaining some guests on Saturday, she says as she opens my door. There's a new doctor on the pediatric ward who just transferred here from Alabama, and he and his daughter will be coming over for dinner. Pretty sure she's around your age.
Cool.
Troy, Emilio, and Jupiter will be joining us as well. 6:30 sharp, okay?
With that, she leaves the room. Logic says that since I'll be forced to see my best friend against my will at this dinner, it's a good idea to go to her house now and wait for her to come home so it won't be an awkward reunion in front of strangers, right? I'm sure me hug-attacking her and refusing to let go would make our guests uncomfortable, and I have no doubt that if I wait until then to be in the same room with her, that's exactly what'll happen. I stand up, change my shirt, spray on some cologne, and head to the bathroom to wash my face. Pull myself together and all. I grab my backpack, homework, and change of clothes for school tomorrow. There's no way I'm coming back to this whack-ass room. 4. Britton and Golly won't even look at me the next day. They knew exactly what was up when I texted Britt this morning to let him know I didn't need a ride. But I feel too good, too refreshed. No nightmare for the first time all week. For their insults to get me down. It isn't until we're changing out of our cheer uniforms after the football game that tomorrow night's dinner comes up.
My bras,
Britton says, bare-chested after removing his cheer top. And yeah, at the sound of the word bra, my eyes drop to his pasty adolescent man chest.
So my new lady invited me to a party tomorrow night.
New lady, huh?
Golly pulls a giant polo over his head and jams his arms into the sleeves. A dreamy look overtakes Britton's face.
Yeah, man.
Things are official, then?
I ask, zipping my jeans.
Britton's eyes drop.
Well, not yet. We're just talking right now, but I think this one will stick.
Yeah, all right, dog.
Golly and I peer at each other, and I know we're thinking the same thing. This girl's gonna play Brit like a Texas Hold'em hand.
Like I was saying before the Yeti interrupted,
Brit glares at Golly.
Y'all should join me. Hella new girls to peruse.
He rubs his hands together like a creeper.
Can't, I say. My mom planned a dinner at our house with these people who just moved here from Alabama. I toss my empty water bottle out the trash can across the locker room. Bang, bang. Some doctor and his daughter.
Britton stops, in the middle of putting on his shirt.
Daughter?
Yep.
He and Golly exchange a look.
How old is this daughter, man?
Golly says.
I shrug. Around our age, I guess?
You guess?
That's what my mom said.
Both fully clothed now, they look at each other again.
You thinking what I'm thinking, Golly?
Brit says.
Yep.
Golly knocks on a locker.
You hear that, Coop?
Hear what?
He knocks again.
Sounds like opportunity!
Sure does,
says Brit. And I'm confused. What the hell are you fools talking about?
He's hopeless.
Brit tosses his hands up in defeat.
Golly, Coop, this could be a brand new prospect, untainted by Decatur High politics.
Okay.
Could she be a troll with more bass in her voice than little Brit over there? Yes.
Quit with that little shit, brah.
Golly goes on, unfazed.
But she could also be exactly what you need, man.
And now they're both staring at me. Truth is, in the state I was in yesterday, all I heard when Mama mentioned the dinner was, Jupiter will be joining us. And yeah, I slept last night because I was with her. And I'm not worried about Brianna. Jupe told me how Bree even had a bunch of straight girls trying to get at her at the slam. And it's way too much, Coop, and I just cannot. But I basically went into attack dog mode every time Jupe got a text message because while I hadn't heard any more about Ray, every ping made me think of her.
You'll let us know how it goes?
Brit says.
After thinking about it for a sec, I nod.
Yeah, I'll let y'all know. Because maybe they're right. Maybe all I really need is something new. Except within 60 seconds of our dinner guest's arrival, I know all is lost. The moment we open the door, Jupe squeals, something I've never heard her do before. Then she throws her arms around the girl on the other side of it. The girl's dad looks about as startled as I feel. After the longest rocking hug I've ever witnessed, they let each other go.
You got your hair trimmed,
Jupe says, reaching out to touch it.
Mm-hmm. You like? I love it, though it makes you even prettier, which is annoying.
The girl snorts.
Peeked in a mirror lately?
Jupe blushes, like full-on rosy cheeks. What the hell is even happening right now?
Hi, I'm Jupiter,
Jupe says, extending her hand to the girl's father. Kenneth Chin, he says with a smile.
It's great to meet you, Jupiter. I swear you're all Ray talks about these days.
Jupe looks like she just stumbled into an underground cave filled with enough gold to end world hunger. I take a quick glance around to make sure I'm still in my Earth house and not some whacked-out alternate universe version of...
Wait. You're Ray? I say. As in the Ray?
Ray of the giggle-inducing text messages, Ray?
Fuck you, universe.
Yes.